May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everybody. My name is Senator Jalabel Neon Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Senator Jalabel Neon Hawkins, and I'd like to serve forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yisrael Abel now to the sanctuary. And now I present one of the sons of Yisrael Abel, Nabiah Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is The Tree of Life. The Tree of Life is spoken of from Genesis to Revelations in the Holy Scriptures. You can turn over in your books of Yahweh to page 2 of your books of Yahweh. It's Genesis 2 and verse 9. And it says, "And out of the ground Yahweh made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and desirable for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of righteousness and evil was in the midst also." Also, if you can turn over to Proverbs. Proverbs 3 and verse 18. It's on page 498. And it says, "She is a tree of life to those who embrace her wisdom. Blessed are they who hold fast to her." And also, if you can turn over to page 972, it's Revelations 2 and verse 7. And it says, "And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the called out ones of the house of Yahweh. To he who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden of Yahweh." Now many people long to know what is the tree of life, but are in deception to what it really is. In the 12th book of Israel, chapter 16 and verse 14, Pastor says, look at their stupidity with their Easter eggs and Santa Claus coming down the chimney and bringing presents. It's all lies. It's all deception. And the Pope is holding up a crossbar and saying, this is the tree of life. It's the furthest thing from the tree of life. It's total death. So we can see that the Pope and his other religions are trying to say that their God worship and traditions are the tree of life. But what is the real tree of life? In the 11th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 3, and verse 23, Pastor says, "I want you to get this in your mind. There are two trees, of course, in the Garden of Eden. There are two trees in the world right now. The house of Yahweh, the tree of life, and the other, of course, is Satan's weapons that she has all over the world." And also in the 4th book of Israel, chapter 25 and verse 111, Pastor says, Genesis 2:9, "And out of the ground Yahweh made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and desirable for food. The tree of life." What was that tree of life? Do you think it was an apple tree that he set before man? You know, in Revelation it tells you what it is, as well as all throughout the scriptures. He says, "You do this and you will live." The laws of Yahweh are the tree of life that he set here. So Pastor explains that the tree of life is the house of Yahweh in Yahweh's 613 laws. You can turn over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 23 or 32. Deuteronomy 32. It's on page 175 and verse 46 and 47. And it says, "He said to them, take to heart all the words I have testified among you this day, so you may command your children to carefully observe and do all the words of this law. These are not just idle words for you. These laws mean life. these laws mean life. And Yochanan 6:63 tells us that it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The laws that I speak to, they are spirit and they are life everlasting. In Yochanan 1:1-4, it tells us that Yahweh has a plan for mankind. In this plan is eternal life. This plan has seven works or eras. Each era had a tree of life, a house of Yahweh, to teach the people Yahweh's laws. We are in the seventh era, the finishing work of Yahweh's plan. We are in the last days spoken of by the prophets Isaiah and Micaiah, the house of Yahweh. The house of Yahweh, the tree of life, has been established. If you can turn over to page 531 in your books of Yahweh, page 531, it's Isaiah 2:2. And it says, "It will come to pass in the last days that the mountain of promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nations and will be raised above all congregations, and all nations will eventually flow to it." And for your notes, Micaiah 4:1 tells us the same thing. The tree of life is none other than the house of Yahweh and the laws of Yahweh. This is the only tree of life. If you can turn over to page 985. Page 985. It's Revelations 22:1-17. And it says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of Yahweh and the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bears 12 fruits and yields her fruit every moon. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation." And verse 17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' And let him who is thirsty come. And whoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. So come to the tree of life, the house of Yahweh, in Abilene, Texas, and take of the water of life freely." And with that, if you all please stand, I'll turn it over to Craig.
And if you all please stand, if you all keep on standing, I'll turn it over to Yaakov. The Deacon Yaakov.
Praise Yahweh, y'all may be seated. It's a great honor to stand before the called out ones and speak. May Yahweh bless your understanding. I'd like everybody to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1. The title of my sermonette here is "A Prophecy Sure to Come, the One Whose Feet Stand on the Sea and on the Earth." If we turn over to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1, the topic there is spiritual gifts. And it reads, "Strive for love and be zealous for spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." And if you look over there at the side note, W2, this means understanding and applying the scriptures. And if we continue on, but as we just read, it is a gift. And we've been given in the house of Yahweh one of the greatest gifts Yahweh could give us. And that's our last day's anointed witness, Israel Hawkins. And he does have great understanding concerning the scriptures. Would you all please turn to Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. Found on page 977. "And I saw another mighty mallet come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire." I'd like everybody to compare that with Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13. And it reads, "And in the midst of the seven lampstand, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet, in a girdle of gold about his chest. The hair of his head was as white as wool and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet glowed like bronze which had been fired in a furnace, and his voice sounded like many waters." If we can look at the two comparisons about the face, pastor's face shining as the sun, here's Yeshua's eyes as a flame of fire, pastor's clothed with this rainbow, Yeshua's clothed with this righteousness, and they're both of their feet were explained as feet on fire. Pastor's as pillars on fire, and Yeshua's as as bronze coming out of a burnt, fired furnace. Let's go back over to Revelation chapter 10, verse 2. Revelation chapter 10, verse 2, and it reads, talking about this mighty Malak, "And he had a little book opened in his hand, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth." Pastor explained a couple of weeks ago when I talked to him about this, that this sea and this earth is Revelation chapter 13. And it really got me thinking, and I went back and I started doing some research. And, you know, the first thing that came to my mind, as we've been taught over and over again, that the word sea was waters, and that the waters is Revelation chapter 17. So would everybody please turn there? Revelation chapter 17, verse 1. "And there was one of the seven Malachim who had the seven bowls and talked with me, saying, 'Come, I will show you the sentence of the great whore that sets on many waters.'" So if you look over in Revelation 17, 15, it gives you an explanation of what these waters are. "And he said to me, 'The waters which you saw where the whore sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages.'" So we know that the waters is basically all the nations, all the people, everybody involved in the earth at this time. Go back over with me to Revelation chapter 13. In Revelation chapter 13, it says, verse 1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw the beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy." Gives you the description of this. And the last portion right there, "And out of the mouth he spoke as a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority." Verse 4, "And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, 'Who is like the beast, and who is able to make war with him?'" So as we see, this sea right here is none other than the Holy Roman Empire that suffered this deadly wound, that's the leader of the kings of all the earth. Look over with me in Revelation chapter 11, Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. "And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the authority of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and those who dwell in to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." Now this fire, as you see, it comes down from heaven. That authority is that other tree that was given in Genesis. This fire is a false fire. It's also a destructive fire. The fire that we see that Israel Hawkins has and our high priest Yeshua Messiah has, that authority comes straight from Yahweh. And it's nothing more than the laws and the prophets and the righteousness of Yahweh that brings peace, joy, and love. Go back to Revelations chapter 10, verse 1 again. Revelations chapter 10, verse 1 says, "And I saw another mighty mallet come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud." And if we can refer to that cloud, we know, like in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1, that we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, those who are testifying to these prophecies and these things occurring here in these last days. And pastors ask us to all stay strong, and we're going to be able to give this testimony as a witness from what sin brings throughout all eternity. If you look at over on Revelations 10:2 again, Revelations 10:2, "And he had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth." When I was looking up this word foot, it was really, really, really interesting. And when I looked at it on Hebrews, it's actually the word is in the Strong's, and it's the Greek word number 4428. And it says a foot or a footstool, a person in motion. Also speaks of obedience and worship. It also speaks about this one of scornful rejection. Just as they rejected Yeshua Messiah and his disciples, so also has these nations rejected our pastor and overseer and the house of Yahweh. If you look in that in the Hebrew, it comes from word 7272 underneath footstool. And it says, be able to endure a journey, times. Also comes from the Hebrew word number 6471, which means pedestal. To stroke, like to strike an anvil or like a mallet, like a judge would take his thing and say in a court of law, the decision is final. So who do we go to? We ask at Abel, we go to the judge concerning the sentence and the matter, and he will give us an answer. This word brought me to think about this word footstool. So I went over to Revelations chapter 3, and if we looked at Revelations chapter 3, we can go to verse 1, I believe. Revelations chapter 3, I'm sorry, verse 7. "And to the Malach of the congregation of the house of Yahweh in Philadelphia, write these things, says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens." You look at verse 11, it says, "Behold, I will give out of the throne," or on 9, sorry, "Behold, I will give out of the throne of the assemblies of the accuser who preach themselves to be those who worship Yahweh, and they are not, but they attempt to deceive by falsehood. Behold, I will appoint them," these, "I will appoint them for the purpose of worshiping in the presence of your footstool, and they will understand that I have loved you." I've loved you, Israel Hawkins. That's Yahweh, that's Yeshua speaking to him with Yahweh's authority. This word footstool, if you remember in Psalms 110, and it's verse 1, Yahweh said to my ruler and my king, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." This mighty Malach that's standing on the sea and on the earth, who opposes Babylon, is subduing these nations right now. And as he's subduing these nations right now, you look up that word fire, okay? And the Hebrew word for that fire, I'm sorry, the Greek word for that fire in Revelations chapter 10 and verse 2. If I can find my notes. It's 4442, and it's a primary word, fire. Lightning, fiery. It's in Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, is in symbolic of that which tries the faith of the saints, producing that which will glorify Yahweh. Of It says here divine judgment, but we know that word divine is not correct. It's the judgments of Yahweh, testing the deeds of the believers at the judgment seat of Yahshua. Pastor Israel Hawkins is that instrument that Yahweh is using to judge not only the saints, purify the saints, test them, get them ready for this great and awesome kingdom, but also spreading this message of salvation to all the nations. If you also remember from Revelation chapter 11, I've loved you. If you, in the footstool, they'll come worship before pastor and his footstool. Romans 10:15 reads, if you want to go there real quick, we've got time. Verse 15. How can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the message of peace, who bring glad tidings of righteous things. And that's all we get is righteous things here taught at the house of Yahweh through our pastor and overseer. You can't go wrong if you listen to them. There's no way. Turn back with me to Revelation chapter 10 again. Revelation chapter 10, and look at verse 3. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he had cried, seven thunders had uttered their voices. Boy, I'm waiting for Pastor to explain this one. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. Yochanan was about to write. But I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and do not write them. We're just going to have to wait for Pastor to expound on these things. Verse 5. And the Malach which I saw standing upon the sea, that beastly Roman, Holy Roman Empire, and upon the earth, that's the United States, had two horns like a lamb, but does speak as a dragon, causes fire to come down from heaven. When this Malach lifted up his hand to heaven, and he vowed to him who lives forever and ever, who created the things therein it, and the earth, and the things therein it, and the sea. Look at how many times this word earth and sea comes up. And the things which are in that there should be time no longer. Here, pastor is vowing by the authority of heaven back to Yahweh, asking him, fulfilling his prophecy, that there's no more delayed time. I mean, that is just, that's awesome. And remember the importance of vows. When we make a vow, the things that we say out of our mouth, we need to learn to keep. Would you please turn over to, Revelation chapter 4. Pastor, when he was explaining these things, he knew back when he wrote the Mark of the Beast, volume 1 and 2, and he's explained to us numerous times that the quartet was going to go ahead and repent. If you look at Revelation chapter 4 and verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. In the midst of the throne and surrounding the throne, there were four living creatures full of eyes before and behind. Pastor's explained to us many times that this is a quartet. He's also expounded and explained that they will be repenting, coming to the house of Yahweh. They will understand the destruction that they brought upon the earth, and they'll be taught to learn more, no more. Look at Revelation chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. And every creature which is in heaven on the earth and under the earth, there we have those words again, earth and sea, which are in the sea and all that in them, I heard them saying, blessing, honor, and glory and power belongs to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living creatures, the quartet, said, Hallelujah, Yahweh, and 24 of the great Kahans fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Go back over to Revelation chapter 7 and verse 1. It speaks about these quartet again. Verse 1, "And after these things I saw four Malachims standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, so that the wind would not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree." We all know what the trees are. They're the people. The green trees are the saints of Yahweh. Okay? So this earth and the sea, we have it here again. "And I saw another Malach ascending from the east, having the seal of the living Father, and he cried with a loud voice to the four Malachim, to whom it was given to the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth nor the sea till we have sealed the servants of our fathers in their forehead." Pastor's job was to cry out to these nations to get us all sealed at this time so that we could all come to this point where he could offer up a people holy to Yahweh. For my two closing scriptures, you remember how Zechariah, it says, "Behold," speaking to Yeshua, "behold, the man whose name is the branch." You look at Isaiah chapter 49, verse 3. Let's go there, my last scripture. "And he said unto me, You are my servant, O Israel, through whom I will be glorified. And let that be so." These prophecies are sure to come to pass. And that judgment is going on right now. And hopefully soon the house will be continued to be lifted up. Israel Hawkins will lead these nations into the proper judgment. And then we'll be restoring the waste places again. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And I'll turn it over to Deacon Yeshua. Praise Yahweh.
If you remain standing, we have a special presentation. I'd like to turn it over to Son of Yeshua, Abel Buzz Light Hopkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is Instructions Keep Us Safe. Now, the body of this speech is, I'm going to stress what instructions are, why they're given to us, examples of people who obeyed the instructions and got blessings, and examples of people who did not obey the instructions. Now, the word instructions in Webster's dictionary means detailed information of telling how something should be done. And the second definition is knowledge or information imparted. Instructions are a direction or order given. And instructions are given to us to explain how or when something should be done. Here are some examples of people who followed the instructions and were blessed. In Genesis 22, 1 through 10. Genesis 22, 1 through 10. Found on page 16. Verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass after these things that Yahweh tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am, and he said, Take now your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and sacrifice him as a burnt offering." On one of the mountains of which I tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took his two young manservants with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood of the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which Yahweh had told him. Then On the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young manservants, "Stay here with the donkey, the young man, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and put it on Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife and a tool, and two of them went together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, saying, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "I see the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, Yahweh will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering." And the two of them went on together. Then they came to the place which Yahweh had told him. And Abraham built an altar there in the place and the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abram reached out his hand to take the knife to slay his throat. But the Malach of Yahweh called to him from heaven, said, "Abraham, Abraham." He said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hands on the young man, nor do anything to him. For now I know that you reverence Yahweh, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Now Abraham lifted his eyes. Then he lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and sacrificed it for a burnt offering instead of his son. Because Abraham was obedient and was willing to sacrifice his only son, Yahweh provided him with a ram as a burnt offering and not his son. Now let's look at an example where people did not, two men did not obey the instructions and ended up losing their lives. If you'll turn over to 1 Samuel 2:12 through 18, found on page 224. And it says, "Now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. They did not know Yahweh. It was a practice of the priest with the people that when any man offered a sacrifice, and while the meat was boiling, the priest servants would come with a three-pronged fork in his hand. Then he would thrust into the skillet kettle, cauldron, or pot, and the priest would take for himself whatever the fork brought up. This was how they treated all the Israelites who came to Shiloh. But even before the fat was burnt, the servants of the priests would come and say to the man, who was sacrificing, give the priest some meat to roast. He will take boiled meat from you, but raw. And if the man said to him, let the fat be first burned up, and then take whatever you want. The servant would then answer, no, but you must give it to me now. But if not, I will take it by force. So the sin of the young men were very great in front of Yahweh. For men came to threat Yahweh's offering with contempt. But Samuel ministered in front of Yahweh. A child wearing a linen ephod. In 1 Samuel 4:17, it says, so the sin of the young men were very great in front of Yahweh. In Proverbs 3:1, it says, my son, do not forget my law, but take my instructions to heart. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Now, as you can see there, it says that if we obey the instructions from our authorities, we will have long days. In Proverbs 4:10, it says, hear, my son, and accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. And because the priest's sons who ate the raw meat, because they ate the lifeblood, or the blood that was in the meat, the raw meat, the lifeblood, they died. In conclusion, if we want the protection of Yahweh, we must be willing to follow Yahweh's 613 instructions given to us by our overseer, Yisrael Hawkins. Week before last, this is us with Senator Roger Wicker from Mississippi, and that was at a coffee meet and greet. And we had a great time there. So with that, if you all please stand. I'll turn it over to Son of Israel Abel, Deacon Buffalo Bill.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. My title today is Teach Your Children How to Live in Peace. Now, for many years, society has put focus on what type of car you drive, what color hair you have, what your height is, what your weight is, and what your facial features are. But there's no focus on character, especially not on teaching character. But in the house of Yahweh, we don't do that. We don't focus on the superficial and shallow things. Praise Yahweh. In the house of Yahweh, we teach the laws of Yahweh, the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, which is the only way to teach the laws of Yahweh. Please turn to Proverbs 22, and let's look at verse 6. It's on page 510. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Train up a child in the way he should go. Don't shove him in front of a TV or give him a stupid phone with the internet so he can go worship the gods on Google or Facebook or any other stupid time-wasting site where Satan can pull him out of the house of Yahweh and deceive him. And do not let him listen to worldly music. Teaching our children is so important. Pastor said it over and over. He said, get with your children. Teach your children. Get with them and learn with them. In the world, all the children are taught is war and fighting. Now we see fights on the street and men so crazy, they don't even care. It's the non-caring attitude that they have. They're stupid enough to point a gun at a 5-year-old and think it's funny. They laugh at it. The only solution to these problems is the laws of Yahweh, the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. That is the only solution. From the age of 5, out in the world, they're taught that war is the only answer. But at the house of Yahweh, from the time that a child's in the womb, they're being taught the way to peace, the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, and all 613 laws of Yahweh. Please turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6 on page 152. Deuteronomy 6, and let's look at verse 7. "And you must teach them diligently to your children and talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, and when you rise up." And please turn to Deuteronomy 31, verse 19 on page 174. "Now this perfect law, therefore, is written for you. Teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, so I have this perfect law bearing witness for those who reverence Yahweh." This became very evident to me on our recent trip to Washington, D.C. We were passing out flyers near the Supreme Court in Capitol Hill area, and within a few yards of our vehicle was where the incident occurred involving the man with the pickup truck who had claimed he was exposed to anthrax. Here we are petitioning our government to put character education into the schools, and there we witnessed a very desperate man who thought he could solve his problem of being exposed to anthrax by driving up on the national lawn. Well, if this man had the opportunity to be trained in the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, he would have learned that ownership, respect, asking, self-control, and do not steal are the answers to the problems we all face. These are the basic principles that teach morality and stop a problem before it arises. From our last scripture, please turn to 1 Timaiah 1, page 933. First Timaiah 1, and let's look at verse 8. "We know indeed that the law is perfect, and if everyone agrees with the law, taking it to himself to use. We know that the laws of Yahweh, the full Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, is perfect, having power to bring us to perfection, making us in the image and likeness of Yahweh. If everyone agrees with this law, taking it to himself to use." Brothers and sisters, we must have faith and works. We must learn the laws of the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program and perform them. We must read and study the laws of the Peaceful Solution and practice them. If we do this, we will surely inherit the great kingdom of Yahweh. And if you all please stand. It's my great honor and privilege to present to you one of the great sons of Yisrael Abel, Yeshaya Hawkins. Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is Not Our Plan, But Yahweh's Plan. We had a great missionary trip, and I'm going to share with you something I learned on the trip and I see taking place in the house of Yahweh today. This may come as a shock to some of you, but everything on the missionary trips don't always go according to how we would think they would go or want them to go. But they do go exactly how Yahweh wants them to go. And this is one of the things I learned. If you could turn to Proverbs 16, verse 9, on page 506, Proverbs 16, verse 9. It says, "A man's mind plans his ways, but Yahweh directs his steps." And on the way there, we had some trouble. But we didn't plan for one of the motorhomes to break down and almost delay us a whole day on the way to Washington. But Yahweh allowed this to see how we would handle things. And like Pastor has taught us, we went to work solving the problems. And I didn't see any of the adults or anyone throwing a temper tantrum or because we broke down on the side of the road. But instead, they worked together, some going to get parts, and others started taking apart the broken pieces. In the fourth book of Yisrael, Pastor told us that we can do great things when we work together. This is from the series Lying and Betrayal of the House of Yahweh, chapter 3, verse 40. It says, "Everyone here does his job. We all work together as a unit. That's the way it has to be. We are one unit." Did you get that? We are one unit. That's the reason that Yahweh is able to use us and put out so much work. The things that this little group puts out here would take the world thousands of hours, thousands and thousands of dollars too. But Yahweh is blessing this work, or it wouldn't be here. So even though we arrived late, we had to hurry, but we were still able to make it to all the appointments that were scheduled in the Capitol building on the first day. Everything seemed to be going pretty smooth. On the second day there, we felt right at home because it was raining on and off throughout the day. This, of course, could be looked at as a setback. But we didn't stay inside. We didn't let the lion in the road bother us. Instead, we put on our rain gear and headed right out into the rain. Because we were scheduled to walk in front of the Capitol building, the Supreme Court, and the White House to hand out these flyers. It says, "Character education solves problems in advance. Help us put character education in all schools. Sign our petition." In the character unit, chapter 4, page 85, it's talking about setbacks. Curveballs and pitfalls are unexpected situations that can test your resolve to maintain a positive character. And from dictionary.com, resolve is a noun, and it means a resolution or determination made as to follow some course of action, firmness of purpose or intent. Determination. So since the rain didn't hinder us from doing the work of Yahweh that day, a new completely unexpected situation came upon us. It was around 2 o'clock in the afternoon,
on the second day, and we were heading to our vehicles to get some food for lunch and take a restroom break. But as we just got to the spot where we had parked, we were pretty close, and a man in a white truck drove onto the grass, which is called the National Lawn in front of the Capitol. And almost immediately, police and emergency vehicles started coming to the area and wouldn't allow us near our vehicles. The man was the same one we saw on the news last week, who told the police he had been exposed to anthrax and had anthrax with him in his truck. And we were right there as the situation unfolded. Unable to get our vehicles, unable to get lunch, unable to leave. By the time we could get back to our cars, 5 hours had passed. It was now nighttime and we were very hungry. All these setbacks that Yahweh allows to take place to see if we really practice the peaceful solution. It is very easy to complain about these types of situations, but Yahweh knows what he's doing. Remember, Yahweh is in full control. Please turn with me to Philippians. Philippians 1:6 on page 921. Philippians 1:6 on page 921. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a righteous work in you will continue to bring it to perfection until the day of Yeshua Messiah. Now I'm going to read a quote from the second book of Yeshua, chapter 9, verse 88. It says, in Revelation 20, he shows you about the books of the law that are opened. This is how you are judged. Out of the books that Yahweh opens, he's going to the book of life to see if your name is written there, to see if you qualified for the priestly families. That is going to be a joyous moment, as I painted for you during the feast. It's well worthy any punishment or testing that you have to go through now to be at that great marriage supper. There are little troubles you have to go through now to prove yourself fit, to show that you can overcome and work together without strife, bitterness, and hatred building up within you. Yahweh shows that you will be judged by these laws. Praise Yahweh. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to son of Yeshua Abel, Yedidiah Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. So the title of my speech today is The Gathering That the Peaceful Solution and the House of Yahweh is Doing All Across the World. So, and by the way, the missionary team is part of the gathering. We go out in the world and we teach people the way of life, the way of peace, and the way we teach them Yahweh's laws, the way that they should act. We teach them about character and other things of the peaceful solution. So we're not going out there saying Yahweh said this, Yahweh said that. But on May 16th through May 19th, the peaceful solution went to Washington, D.C. And I'll show you what we want to do. If you can turn over to Acts 2:17. And it's on page 841, Acts 2:17, 841. And it says, and it will come to pass in the last days, says Yahweh, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your sons and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. So it's basically saying they will teach the people. And is that not what the missionary team went out to do in Washington, D.C.? The missionary team went out to teach the people the way of life, the true way of life, and the character, the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. Now, while we were there, we also spoke with one of the congressmen, Henry Cuellar, and that's Judge Rosie's brother. And 7 years ago, the first trip to Washington, D.C., we spoke with Henry Cuellar about the Peaceful Solution, and we introduced the Peaceful Solution to him, and we actually flooded the Peaceful Solution throughout Laredo in his district. His district is 28, and that's also one of Pastor's lot numbers. So 7 years later, which was, we went back at May 16th, and we talked to him about the Peaceful Solution and what the Peaceful Solution have been doing in Laredo, the gathering. Basically, the Peaceful Solution just went to Laredo and is gathering the people, teaching them the Peaceful Solution. And we met with him. We showed him a video of all the things that the Peaceful Solution had did for his district. And this is his post on his Facebook page. It says, "This morning I met with William Krause, Chris Heiler, and students from my district about the importance of helping students develop strong morals by teaching the values of honesty, courage, and integrity in schools." So, this is Henry Cuellar. So, the Peaceful Solution and the House of Yahweh is doing a great work, and we have more coming on it. It's a video that we showed him. We could show y'all too. If you could play this one, please.
Students love the presentation because respect is one of the most important things, like how to respect and give respect, and also how to think before you act, like your actions, your feelings, and how to respond to each circumstances when they presented to you.
On behalf of Christian Middle, we would like to thank Peaceful Solutions of Laredo for coming by and talking about several topics that tie in with the home and the school environment about discipline, self-respect, how to address bullying issues that is one of the main factors that are affecting our students.
Peaceful Solutions is a great program. I highly recommend it to anybody out there, especially at the middle school, when these kids are torn between being kids and being adults.
You know, we've tried everything and we just can't see a change. And that's where Peaceful Solutions comes in for us. And I think that it is a wonderful opportunity for us to then say, well, you know what? There is this program in our community. It's something that offers you a tool, a resource to use, a tool for change.
And thank you, Peaceful Solution team. You're the best. We've had so many wonderful presentations with you all, and our children love it. They come back to us and they tell us, well, when are we going to see them again?
I'll tell you that the Peaceful Solution
person inspiration. It is the perfect book to bring forth the inspiration that people lack, to bring moral character into their lives.
I truly feel blessed to have met William Krause and all the individuals from Peaceful Solution from Abilene, Texas. And they have not only inspired the children, but they have inspired me to continue the message of moral principles. And this is something that is, we go back to the basics. And I think if we could all go back to the basics, this world will certainly be a better place.
But the concept of Peaceful Solutions, putting the strategies in our students' hands, is awesome. It's great. I think that if a program is based and the people that have that program believe in it and it has touched their lives, I think they're not just presenting a program or something. They're presenting something they believe in. When you believe in something, it changes everything. It not only touches their lives, it touches the lives around everybody, especially the students that they serve.
Tell you about what we have done here in Nuevo Laredo and how we got together with Peaceful Solutions, that is a great organization that helps people, children, teachers to have better possibilities of doing great in their life and especially having peace in their world.
You see the work that the missionary team has been doing in Washington, D.C. and in Laredo. And when we gave Congressman Cuellar that video, you could see his eyes got big and he was like, who is that woman, Judge Rosie? Because he said, that's my sister. Okay, and that's not the only, and when Congressman Cuellar, when he saw our, we were down there to get petition signed, okay? So when he asked his, what is it, his office aides, he asked them to put the petition on his desk, okay? Because he wanted to sign it, I guess. So he asked them to put the petition on his desk, and when he saw his sister on the video, his eyes got very big, and you can see that he was joyful. So don't get me wrong, that's not the only way that the House of Yahweh is gathering the people. It's other ways, such as the HOI publications. Okay? The HOI publications. Okay? The Book of Yahweh, the Holy Scriptures, the study guide. The Book of Israel, Volume 1 through 14. The Children's Edition, The Book of Israel, Volume 1 through 5. The Prophetic Word Magazine, and The Yahshua Pre-Exists. The Peaceful Solution for All Nations, and The End, The Birth of the Nuclear Baby. So the list goes on and on. You can see that the House of Yahweh is doing a tremendous work, and he's gathering the people today. Okay, and when we were down there, we were passing out the flyers for the petition to be signed, and here's some pictures. Okay, we were passing out flyers for the petition to be signed. And here's another picture. And so while we were passing out the flyers, a man who we had just saw yesterday, he was with the Associated Press. The day before, he was with the Associated Press, and he came up to us because we had just gave him a flyer the day before. He came up to us, and he said, "Hey, weren't you guys passing these flyers out yesterday?" And we told him, "Yes." And he said, "This is a great thing that you guys are doing." And he told us about how he was already late for what he was supposed to be doing. So he told us he was already late. But he said he would take his time out for us because what we were doing was more important than anything else in Washington, D.C. And then he sat there talking to us for about 10 or 15 minutes, and he also went on about how his parents taught him about character and morals, and it really helped him get through a lot of hard things in his life. Okay, and he said that we really need the peaceful solution in our schools. So if you can turn over to Revelations 11, 8, 9. Revelations chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. This is on page 978. Okay, Revelations chapter 11, 8 and 9. And it says, "And the body of believers, the house of Yahweh, the one seed of the two witnesses, goes into the streets of the cities." Okay, so the body of believers, which is us, the peaceful solution, we went into the streets, okay, of the city, the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Messiah was sacrificed. And they take out the people, the tribes, the tongues, and the nations into the house of Yahweh. So that's what we were doing. And it also says, out of the house of Yahweh, turning them to Yahweh. Okay? So that's what the peaceful solution went to Washington, D.C. for. That's what the peaceful solution goes on every missionary trip for. It is to turn the hearts and turn the people around to the way of Yahweh. Okay, and the way of Yahweh is not murder this person, hurt your neighbor. The way of Yahweh is peace, joy, and abundant living. The Peaceful Solution Character Education Program is the way of Yahweh, and it's the only way that would bring peace. So the man we were talking to, as we were talking, we were actually turning the man around to the way of Yahweh. Okay, and I have a quote from the Yisrael Hawkins says, okay, and it's, I have a quote from the Yisrael Hawkins says, no, first let's go to Isaiah 2:2. It's on page 531. Isaiah 2:2, and it says, "It will come to pass in the last days that the mountain promotion," okay, "that the mountain promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nations and will be raised up above all congregations, and all nations will eventually flow to it." And I have a quote from the Yisrael Hawkins says, the 13th book of Yisrael, part 1, chapter 19, verse 38, "Well, lo and behold, in the last days the house of Yahweh had been established, it's reaching the world with the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. And this program, people are seeing it, and they are saying, you know this will work. This will bring peace. This right here, this is what we need. So they want it in the prisons. Well, we put it in the prisons. We get great results. We put it in the schools, and lo, the teachers of 14 years of senior, the teacher of 14 years, a senior teacher of 14 years said, this is the first time that I can actually say that there is no stealing going on in my classroom. Okay? And that is all because of the peaceful solution. So as we can see, the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program really works. And we should keep presenting it to the world. We should keep teaching the way of peace and the Peace Solution Character Education Program. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker, Son of Israel, Deacon White Buffalo.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. As you probably guessed, I'm going to be continuing in covering Yahweh's laws of hunting and butchering. This will be my third sermon on this subject. And my title is, Why Did Yahweh Create Unclean Animals? Well, first, let's do a review. In my first sermon, we talked about the different animals that's acceptable, the clean and unclean laws, and certain instances where things were done concerning this. And how when a person kills an animal for food, it should be done not torturing the animal, but done appropriately because its flesh will become your flesh. In the second part, we also continued covering this subject, and we also covered about the lifeblood, not eating the lifeblood. But this will be about why did Yahweh create unclean animals? Some people look down upon unclean animals in disgust and wonder, why were they created? Does Yahweh care about them? Did Yahweh make a mistake when he created them? He didn't create them by accident. There are answers to these questions too. Let's start from the beginning. If you would turn to Genesis 1. Genesis 1. In verse 20 to 25, it says, Then Yahweh said, Let the waters bring forth an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So Yahweh created a great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind, and Yahweh saw that it was fitting. And Yahweh blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply upon the earth. So in the evening and in the morning were the fifth day. Then Yahweh said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And Yahweh made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And Yahweh saw that it was right. After Yahweh put all creatures upon the earth, he saw that it was fitting and that it was right. Clean so we may eat, of course, and I covered that in the first speech I gave. In all the creatures Yahweh created and put upon the earth, he showed mercy, kindness, and lots of care. Yahweh did not make any mistake in creating any of his creatures. They were all created for a purpose. They were made to live healthy, enjoyable lives. He made them to perform their duties and enjoy it. For example, the unclean pig and the unclean buzzard are scavengers. They clean up. They enjoy feeding on waste matter. And they help clean up the earth. Likewise, some unclean water creatures, like lobsters and clams and so forth, were made to keep the waters clean from garbage and human waste. That is why oysters, clams, lobsters, and crabs are most plentiful, if you notice, where the human waste is dumped. Yahweh made unclean creatures to enjoy their foods, just like he made mankind to enjoy our food. Of course, clean food, because unclean animals, we can't call them food. Yes, in Yahweh's entire plan, he showed his loving kindness, and this loving kindness can be seen in the creation of the smallest to the greatest creature. So the question is, when is it acceptable to kill an unclean animal? If you remember, in my first sermon, I gave some examples of that. Let's turn over to 1 Samuel 17 and verse 34 to 36. This is only one example. 17 verse 34 to 36, it says, "But David said to Shaul, 'Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear would come and carry off a sheep from the flock, then I would go after it, strike it, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them, seeing he has challenged and defied the armies of the living Father.'" The next question is, how could we eat clean animals that eat unclean animals? Yahweh designed clean animals to have a particular digestive system which filters out poisons that may be harmful to mankind. For example, the chicken has a crop and a stomach which filters out any parasites or any things that may have ingested poisons. Yahweh made the clean animals this way, so when mankind eats the meat of the clean animals, it will not hurt us, no matter what the animal may have eaten. And the Yisrael Hawkins says, the fifth book of Yisrael, chapter 7, and verse 63. It says, he made this statement to me, "All foods are unclean now." I said, "That is true, but there are things you can get from pork that you don't get from beef. If beef is properly kosher, for instance, chikna cannot live in beef or sheep, but they can live in pigs and humans. That means humans have things in their bodies that will support the family life of the chikna, but they can't live in cattle or in chickens. They can't even get through into the meat of a chicken. A chicken can eat a handful of chikna, and it would never get through the craw of the chicken. They would be ground up and destroyed. Only the best would cipher through this." So chickens can eat unclean things, and it will be turned, Yahweh designed it to where it will turn into clean, healthy, and wholesome meat. So what clean animals could we eat? Yahweh gives us some requirements. Let's go over to Leviticus real quick. Leviticus 11. And verse 4. It says, "Nevertheless, there are some that only chew the cud or only have a split hoof. You must not eat these. The camel, because it chews the cud, but does not have a split hoof, it is unclean to you." The split hoof. If you notice on a clean animal, the hoof on the bottom of its legs is split completely in half. A split hoof, completely divided. Also chewing the cud. After the animal grazes and swallows its food, it stores its food in its first stomach. After the animal has finished grazing and is relaxed, it brings this food back into its mouth where it rechews it for a longer period of time. The animal then swallows the food again, and the food passes to the animal's second stomach, where the animal then uses the food to obtain nutrients. Now, these we may not eat. The scriptures say the animals which chew the cud and have a split hoof, chew the cud and have a completely divided split hoof, are clean to be eaten. If an animal only has a split hoof or only chews the cud, but not both. The animal is therefore unclean. It cannot be eaten. For example, the pig has completely divided split hoofs, but it is not chewed the cud, so it is unclean. Horses graze, but do not have completely divided hooves, so they are also unclean. Only animals that chew the cud and have a completely divided split hoof are clean to eat. Yahweh gives us dietary laws. Yahweh's dietary laws are about clean and unclean animals. Knowing which animals are clean will prevent us from eating unclean foods, which defile our bodies. Yahweh gave his dietary laws for our own benefit, so we don't get parasites into our body. Yahweh created some things clean, so we may eat, and some things unclean, which man cannot eat. The clean foods are animals which are physically and chemically fit and can be eaten for man's benefit. A clean animal has a special digestive system designed to filter out things that can be harmful for us to eat. An unclean animal, believe it or not, does not have this special digestive system. So it was not made for man to eat. The keeping of Yahweh's dietary laws can prevent mankind from suffering many diseases and illnesses. Yahweh knows what is best for us. With all the animals Yahweh has created, how can we tell which are clean and which are unclean? There's plenty of animals. So, in Leviticus, it names some four-footed beasts that are clean and may be eaten, and some which are unclean and cannot be eaten. In Leviticus 11, and verse 2 to 4, it says, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, these are the animals you may eat among all the beasts upon the land. You may eat any animal that has a split hoof, completely divided, and which chews the cud. These you may eat. Nevertheless, there are some that only chew the cud, or have a split hoof. You must not eat these. The camel, because it chews the cud, but does not have a split hoof, it is unclean to you." In Deuteronomy 14, in verse 6 to 7. Deuteronomy 14, in verse 6 to 7. "And you may eat every animal that has a split hoof, completely divided, and that also chews the cud. However, of those that chew the cud, or of those that have a split hoof completely divided, you may not eat. The camel, the rabbit, or the coney, although they chew the cud, they do not have a split hoof, and they are unclean to you." In conclusion, please remember that when we listen to Yahweh's laws and we don't eat these unclean animals which defile our bodies, we are doing what Yahweh knows is best for us. We are keeping his law, and in turn, we will not get these deadly diseases. With that, this is all the time I have, and I would like to turn over to Son of Israel Abel, Deacon Yaakov Hopkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today, I'd like to continue on some of the numbers. If you remember in my last sermon I did, we went over the number 421, which was Yeshua's memorial, and how it meant to wail, if you can see that. To wail, and it was talking about Yeshua's memorial. What occurs at Yeshua's memorial? To put under the oath, remember that, to swear, to curse. Now remember the 777, the word oath, and it all tied in to what occurs at Yeshua's memorial. It says that that cannot be traced out. Remember, a track or a footstep. And then we have 1 Kefa 2:21 and Romans 4:12. And remember, that was where it talks about Yeshua's footstep that we would have to follow. We have to follow Yeshua in order to make it into Yahweh's kingdom. Now today, in the Gematria for Yeshua's memorial, the first number I'd like to go over is number 1023. Number 1023. And that's in the Jewish Gematria. Now, that number 1023 in the Hebrew, 1023 means far. Can you see that right there? Far. It also goes to number 4801 in the Strong's Hebrew, and it means a distant place, distance, last, remote place. It also means far countries. Now, if you remember, if you go to Isaiah 2, Isaiah 2, that's found on page 531. Isaiah 2, starting at verse 2, it says, "It will come to pass in the last days that the mountain promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nations, and will be raised above all congregations, and all nations will eventually flow to it." Get that there. All nations will eventually flow to it. And all the countries. Now, also, in Matithiah 25, remember that all nations will come to the house of Yahweh. If you go to Matithiah 25, that's found on page 753, Matithiah 25, verse 14. We'll start at verse 14. Now, before that, it was talking about the wise and foolish virgins. The wise ones took the oil, and they had the oil in their lamps, and they made it into the kingdom. But the foolish virgins, they weren't ready, they didn't have the oil in their lamps, and they didn't make it into Yahweh's kingdom. Now, in verse 14, it's the parable of the talents. And it says, "For the kingdom of Yahweh is like a man going on a journey into a far country, who summoned his own servants and handed the possessions over to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability, and immediately went on his journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made with them 5 more talents. He who had received 2 did the same, and also gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went out and dug in the earth and hid his ruler's money. Then it says, after a long time, the ruler of those servants came and settled accounts with them. It says, then he who had received 5 talents came forward and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Ruler, you handed me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained 5 other talents above those.' His ruler said to him, 'Well done, righteous and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your ruler.' And that joy is going to be when we make it into Yahweh's kingdom. Now, then if you skip down to verse 26, or go to 25, it says, 'So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the earth.' Now this is the person who had 1 talent. And it says, 'See, you have what belongs to you.' His ruler answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed.'" Then skip down to verse 29. It says, "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we see that that means to study. If we have Yahweh's laws, if we practice Yahweh's laws, we will make it into the kingdom. Now remember that number, 4801. It means a distant place or a far country. And remember, it means last or remote place. Remote place. Now, here in Abilene, they called it a God-forsaken land, a remote place. And God is not here. Yahweh is here. All right? Praise Yahweh. Now, it goes to Isaiah 46, verse 11. Let's go there. Isaiah 46, verse 11. It says, calling an eagle from the east, the one who executes my plan from a far country. Yes, I have spoken, I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will also do it. All right, and remember that from the east. If back in my last speech, we went over how the last number I gave, it was Greek 2240. It means I have come to be present. And now remember that was to be present for Yeshua's memorial. It also means to come upon one of things to be endured. And then if you see here, it means to you that many will come from the east, and that many shall come from the east. And if you remember, in the Yisrael Says program, we went over what that meant, from the east. If you see here, that's the 8th book of Yisrael, part 1. Chapter 29, verse 82. It says, verse 2, and I saw another Malak from the east. Notice, from the east, having the seal of the living Father. He's going west. If he's ascending from the east, he's going west. Then we tie this with the other prophecies, and we see where the house of Yahweh was established west of the original work, which was Abel. Abel Israel, brought to Abel, Texas. Then also in the 10th book of Yisrael, 10th book of Yisrael, part 1, chapter 14, verse 89, it says, go back to Isaiah 43, now where he says, I will gather you from the west. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your seed from the east and gather you from the west. This is what they call west. We're standing in it right now. If you put that together with the other prophecies concerning Abilene and Israel, if you go straight west from Abilene, Israel, you'll come to the door of the house of Yahweh in Abilene, Texas. All right? Praise Yahweh. So we see in Isaiah 49 or 46, it's from the west, or from the east, going west. It also has dwell in, very far or country. Now, to dwell in, if you go to Psalms 91, Psalms 91, that's found on page 471, Psalms 91, verse 1, it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And we know this is the house of Yahweh. The house of Yahweh. Alright, so we will dwell in the house of Yahweh. Then it leads to Strong's Hebrew 73:68, which means to be or become far or distant. To be or become far or distant. Now, it also means to widen in any direction, all right? And remember, the house of Yahweh is spreading throughout all the world. Remember, last feast we had some people here from Africa, also from Kenya. And we also went to Washington, D.C. So we are spreading. The house of Yahweh is spreading all over the world. Praise Yahweh. Now, in the Greek, the Strong's Greek, it means the arm or strength. It goes to number 1024, Strong's Greek 1024. It means short or little. It says briefly, little, little while, short time. All right? And our time is short. Also, right here, short of time, place, quantity, or number, it says little space or while. And remember, that's short time. This is this generation. It will occur in this generation. If you go to Matithia 24, found on page 753, Matithia 24, and we'll start on verse 32. It says, "Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and puts out leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things, know that his coming and the end of the ages is near at the very door. His coming is near at the very door. Truly I say to you, that generation will not pass away until all these things are fulfilled." So these things will be fulfilled in this generation. Now, also, in the Gematria, it goes to 1128 in the English. And 1128, Strong's Hebrew 1128, it comes from this word right here, which leads to 1856, Strong's Hebrew 1856, and it means to pierce through, wounded, or stricken. And remember Isaiah 53, Yeshua was stricken, all right, to pierce, strike through, or to wound. Now in the Greek, Strong's Greek 1128, it means to train, to exercise. It also means skill or endurance. It means to exercise vigorously in any way, either the body or mind. Now let's go to 1 Timothy or 1 Timaya 4. 1 Timaya 4, found on page 934. 1 Timaya 4, and we'll start at verse 7. It says, "But reject the profane, old wives' fables, that which is delivered by word of mouth, but not within the law of Yahweh. Rather, exercise yourself in holiness. For bodily exercise profits only a little. But holiness is profitable for all things, holding promise of the life that is now, that now is, and of that which is to come." And then the last number in Gematria is number 188. That's simple Gematria, 188. It means woe. That's Strong's Hebrew 188. It means woe. All right. Now, in the April 2016 Prophetic Word Magazine, the Prophetic Word Magazine, page 3, it talks about the word woe. And it says in verse 11, this is talking about Yada 1:11, it says, "The word woe means destruction, brought on by vengeance and retaliation." Also notice, in this verse, the world has gone the way of Cain. In verse 10, we see they corrupt themselves. The corruption leads to the woe, destruction, that comes from confusion, which comes from the consumption of unclean animals, birds, fish, etc. Now, that destruction. Also, remember that destruction. It says, woe. It leads to, in the Greek, Strong's Greek 188, it means at the present point of time, even now. All right? Get that, even now. All right, and I have some pictures here. All right, and it's even now. This is the destruction that's occurring in Syria right now, all right? This is all destruction. And if you see here, it even has the face of death right there, all right? So get that. The destruction is even right now, all right? It also means to be at the prime, become ripe. To be at the prime. And remember, that's 2016. This is the year for nuclear war. Now, that's all the time I have. Praise Yahweh. The numbers are showing a lot. All right? So if y'all please stand, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker, son of Yishal Abel, Deacon Yishal Abel.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my sermon today is Trust in Yahweh. Now, the definition of the word trust from Merriam-Webster's says, assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. One in which confidence is placed to rely or to really rely on the truthfulness or accuracy of, and believe. And if you remember positive law, number one, believe in Yahweh as the only source of power in the universe. And prohibitive law, number one, says do not trust in any power but Yahweh. And if you'll turn over to Proverbs chapter 3, found on page 497, Proverbs chapter 3, and look at verse 4. Well, let's go up to verse 3. It says, do not let mercy and truth forsake you. Tie them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your mind. And remember, the laws of Yahweh are truth. Then you will find honor, high esteem, and approval in the eyes of Yahweh and man. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart, and do not lean upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Yahweh, and he will direct your paths. Now the house of Yahweh, as we all know, is built on prophecy, and it is for the believers, so that they can have confidence and trust in Yahweh. And what Yahweh wants you to develop in your minds is to trust in him. And that is what Yeshua preached. He said, the reason I show you these things in advance is so that when they come to pass, you will know there was a prophet among you. And this was true. Then you can trust in Yahweh forever. In the seventh book of Israel, part 2, chapter 27, verse 41, it says, let's go back over to Matithia 18. The wise, the ones who will do this, put their trust in Yahweh. Put their trust in the one he sent. Do not let that change. Don't let somebody change you. So put your trust in Yahweh only. And part of the definition of the word trust, as I said, is to believe. Back to the definition, it said, one in which confidence is placed. And we can put our confidence and all our trust in Yahweh because we know he said this was the protected place and he was going to protect us. Praise Yahweh. As the last speaker talked about, Psalms 91. To really rely on the truthfulness or accuracy of and believe. Let's go over to Yochanan. Yochanan chapter 6 and verse 29, found on page 821. Yochanan 6 and verse 29. It says here, Yeshua answered and said to them, this is the work of Yahweh, that you believe into him whom he has sent. So if we don't put our trust in Yahweh and believe into the one sent and the prophecies, then when these things start occurring, like the one sent Pastor Yitzhak Hawkins said, you know, it's going to get nasty. And if we trust in Yahweh, then you're not going to be shaking in your boots. You're not going to think that there's another place out there that can offer you protection. This is the protected place. Praise Yahweh. Back to the seventh book of Israel, part 2, chapter 21, and verse 18. It says here, and if you think we can't be raided, you know, it would be up to Yahweh to prove whether or not you got liquid for a backbone, or whether you really got the spirit of Yahweh and you're trusting in Yahweh. If you trust in Yahweh, you won't be, you know, shaking in your boots and turning and going and serving the Baal world, like you've done already with your telephone and your gossip. So, as Pastor talked about last week, you know, you can serve Baal on your telephone. It's that easy. Going to the 8th book of Israel, part 2, chapter 22, verse 82, it says, "What is going to take place very soon is nuclear war in and around the great river Euphrates that will spread to all the earth, including America." Of course, as the prophecy shows, Yahweh said there's going to be a protected place. People will try. People, enemies will try to get you destroyed. They will. Yahweh says they will. They're going to try to use the municipal system to try to destroy the work of Yahweh. That's what they've always used. The Catholic Church sets up this municipal system, and it uses it to the fullest. Verse 82. "And all these, having obtained a righteous report through the faith, through the trust in Yahweh, and today our trust in Yahweh and Yeshua in this very soon coming kingdom now, have not received the promise as yet, but will. They'll receive it with us because you'll resurrect them, and they'll receive their place in the kingdom along with us." So they had trust. All the people that were mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, they had trust in Yahweh. Can I get my audio clip?
Worshiping gods, the Muslims, the Catholics, the Christians, the Catholic Coptics, even though Yahweh tells them in the third chapter of Genesis, don't be evil like the gods.
Your ways are slippery. You're like blind men groping for a door, can't find the handle. Groping in the dark, the thick darkness has come upon them. They can't find a suitable answer. Well, the answer now they got is depopulation. That depopulation, the only thing Yahweh shows there is going to get out of hand. 4/5 of the people are going to be wiped out, but there's not any Catholics, no Catholics among the 2 billion people that are left alive, no Christians, no ISIS, only those who repent of all these religions. Those religions are not serving the Creator. They have no power. The gods have no power at all to save you. Either you serve Yahweh or you will die out there fighting with each other.
This is going to get really nasty from here to the end.
If you think you're going to squeeze by and go ahead and hang on to Baal, you will either die with the wars or you will burn in the hell. Now that's prophesied. It's a judgment for anyone who wants to get into this Baal worship. That's what it is, Satan worship. Learn it not. When you send your children to public school, they're going to learn it. Yes, and they're going to fight in war. They're going to learn war and fighting in the schools. And they're going to say, hey, the Supreme Court just said it's okay to do this. The Supreme Court is the worshipers of Satan. They're not the worshipers of Yahweh. They have no power to give you eternal life or to protect you. Call upon them in the hour of need. Call upon any one of those Supreme Court leaders. Call on them in an hour of need and see where you get. You're going to die, and Yahweh says so. There ain't no way you can protect yourself if you don't do what he says. If you run out into the world, you can't protect yourself. You can't protect yourself. The world has no protection. And if you'd look at the people that get shot in churches, in the movies, in their homes, you'll see they have no protection. You wanting some protection in this time period? You better have Yahweh's armies protecting you or you won't live through this. Call upon any one of those Supreme Court leaders. Call on any one of your politicians or your judges and see where you get. If you don't put your trust in Yahweh, brethren, you're going to die, and Yahweh says so.
Praise Yahweh. So you did get to hear Pastor today. As you probably know, that was the opening to the new CD with some Yasim songs on there as well. Praise Yahweh. And as he said there, serve Yahweh or you will die fighting with yourselves. And you can't squeeze by. He said you'll either die in the wars or you will burn in the hell. In closing, in the 11th book of Israel, or first I want to read from the 12th book of Israel, part 2, chapter 23, verse 23. And it says, but the point is Yahweh. I've got to make you believe Yahweh. Trust in Yahweh so you won't go out, leave the house, thinking there's a place of protection over there offered to you somewhere, and it looks better. It may look better, but the protection of Yahweh is the only thing that's going to get you through this mess that's coming. And in the 11th book of Israel, part 2, chapter 6, verse 130, to 132, it says, they know in heaven, they know and they're convinced that Yahweh's plan is working because they can see it. The prophecies, they are able to see those prophecies fulfilled, so they know it's working. And that's the reason their hopes are so high and they're ready to accept. They're ready to accept you along with all of those who have given up their lives before us. Previous to this last day's house of Yahweh, those who suffer just like you, including Yashub, who's suffering and is suffering and is being tried and tested, and the heavens are awaiting you, brethren. They will accept you readily, and they will accept Yahweh's laws readily, because they're glued on his plan right now. There are a lot of them that won't accept it, but you will have power over them. You will have much more power than they, so it won't be any problem to put down the unruly at that time. And once the quartet sees that what we're saying is truth, they're going to lay down their arms too. Yahweh promises this is cutting off the four horns of this blasted altar of death. That's what you're going to do. It's worth working for. It's worth sweating for. It's worth whatever we have to do to go through. But come to perfection, and let's all be a part of it together, and we'll live joyously ever after. That's a promise from Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. And with that, if you'll all please stand. It's my great honor and privilege to turn it over to the great son of Yitzhak Abel, Deacon Tawakia Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Now, we've heard a lot today, and don't worry, the missionary has not stopped. It's going to continue. No matter if they listen to us or not, we're not going to stop just because they don't listen. We still have to warn them. Now, I'm going to talk about Yahshua. Now, Yahshua, I want each and every one of you to ask yourself this. Yahshua became perfect. He was born a normal man. He had the carnal mind. He had the temptations, all of that. But he became perfect. So why can't we? Ask yourself, why can't I become perfect? What's holding me back from becoming perfect if Yahshua could do it? Think about that, because there's one thing, and we'll talk about it later. There's one thing that is holding us back from becoming perfect. It's not the house of Yahweh. It's not Yisrael Hawkins. It's not the priest. There's one thing. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But Yahshua was no different than us. Don't get it in your mind, well, Yahshua was a special person. He didn't have the temptation to sin. No, Yahshua had to overcome all of those things. He had the carnal mind. He had to overcome that. Now, the carnal mind, we're told in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, it says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against, bitterly opposed to Yahweh, for it is not subject to the law, nor indeed can be." So notice that's two completely different things. One is life and peace, the other one is death. Now we see life and peace where? We see life and peace where? At the house of Yahweh, right. We don't see life and peace out in the world. We see death. So we can see where the difference there and where we... you can't get those mixed up. Now, before we can come to perfection, we have to know what is perfection. Or what is perfect? Well, in Psalms chapter 19, verse 7, it says that the laws of Yahweh are perfect. So if we keep the laws of Yahweh, all of the laws of Yahweh, not whichever ones we want to keep, all of the laws of Yahweh, and that brings us to perfection. Because remember, if we keep some of them, or if we break one of them, then we're guilty of breaking them all. So make sure that we have to be on careful guard that we don't put some of them to the side and not keep them. Now remember, a couple of verses down in Psalms 19, verse 10, we'll read that real quick. Psalms 19, verse 10. It's on page 441. It says, they are more to be desired than gold, yes, than even much fine gold. They are sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. So, gold. The world looks at gold as something very valuable, right? Well, here's 17 of the most expensive things on this planet. And just keep in mind, as I read these, the laws of Yahweh are much, much, much more valuable than any of these things. Okay, so it says, the thing about being rich is you can afford to be eccentric, or that's unusual, different, and no one will laugh at you. And also, the things about having lots of money to spend is that you can buy the most ridiculous things at even more ridiculous prices and show it off. So coming in at 17, a crystal piano. A piano made entirely out of crystal, one of the most expensive instruments in the world, $3.2 million. Magnetic floating bed, $1.6 million. The domain, an internet site, $16 million. Okay? A dead shark. It's an art piece, which is basically a tiger shark in a tank full of formaldehyde, $12 million. Okay? Villa Leopolda, $506 million. It's the second most expensive home on the planet. It served as a World War II hospital. A gold-plated Bugatti Veyron, $10 million. Okay, gemstone watch, 200-carat gemstone watch, $25 million. A photograph, a picture, you know, you can go take one outside. We have plenty of the clouds that we are seeing prophecies taking place. But this one is of a river and some grass, $4.3 million. There's a painting, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, $104 million. A bracelet. A diamond panther bracelet, 12.4. A feather of a hua bird, which is an extinct bird, $10,000. A parking spot in Manhattan, $1 million. The perfect pink, it's a pink diamond, $23 million. Okay. Another painting of two card players playing cards, $260 million. Another car, a Ferrari, $52 million, and a building, it's called the Antilla, $1 billion. It's a 34-story mammoth of a home, is designed to survive an earthquake of a magnitude 8, and contains three helipads with parking space enough for 160 cars. And then last but not least, a yacht, History Supreme. This yacht is plated with 100,000 kilograms of gold and platinum, and has other extravagances like statues made of a T-Rex's bone and wine glasses made of an 18-carat diamond. Some reports that this might be faked emerged in 2011. However, this yacht was confirmed to exist again in 2014. So that cost $4.5 billion. Okay? So this is what's valuable to the world. Physical things. But what do we value here at the house of Yahweh? The laws of Yahweh, right. The teachings of the house of Yahweh. We shouldn't want anything of the world. Remember, Yahshua did not want these things. In fact, Pastor, he talked about it in the fourth book of Israel, chapter 15. This sermon was given back in May 20th of 1989. And he said in verse 123, it says, "When I think about Yahshua being raised in perfection, like he was, it makes me desire that everyone in the world could be raised with this same perfection." This was given in the laws of Yahweh, in the Torah. Yahweh says to teach this to your children night and day. When you lie down, when you rise up, when you stop to eat, teach it to your children. Okay, teach it to your children. We see that scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6. But all the time is what it's saying. Nonstop. We need to be teaching these things to ourselves, to our children. And we do that by setting a righteous example. Yahshua is our example, so we need to be examples to each other. Not examples of the world, examples of little Yahshua's. That's what we need to become. Little Yahshua's and little Nora's, remember? Praise Yahweh. So Yahshua was one person whose parents were trained by Yahweh before he was born. So notice his parents were trained, and these parents were trained to raise Yahshua up in perfection. So his parents taught him, and then Yahshua went out and taught the multitudes. They practiced these laws perfectly before Yahweh, raising this child to become our Savior. This child had to learn obedience through suffering. As I have brought out before, he suffered at the hands of mankind. Any doubts that he had about wanting to turn to sin in any way were wiped totally out because he did not want any part of what this world had. He finally made up his mind to it. So he made up his mind and he stood for it. I'm pretty sure that he was practicing the things of the peaceful solution. He set his mind in advance. No, I'm not going to do these things. I'm going to separate myself completely from the world. I don't want anything of the world. And we need to do the same thing in our minds. Now, Yahshua, or we have the same opportunity to be raised in perfection here at the house of Yahweh. This is the most perfect place in the world right now. And we have this opportunity. Remember, Yahshua was a normal man. He was tested. There was traps set. The Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, Herodians, all of them, they set traps for him. You can read about them in the second part of the book of Yahweh all the time. But in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, Hebrews 4, 15, on page 945, it says, verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, because in all ways he is in all ways tempted as we are, yet was without sin." So he was tempted. He was, remember in Matthew chapter 4, where Satan, he came to him, "Well, you're hungry, right? So turn these stones into bread." What did he say? "Man does not live by bread alone." They live by what? Right, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. And where do we get that? Do we get it out in the churches? At the Vatican? No, at the house of Yahweh from Yisrael Hawkins and the priests that are teaching these things. Then also remember, he said, "I'll give you all these things. I'll give you all this power." What did Yahshua say? Does anybody remember? We'll read it real quick. Matthew chapter 4. If we look to verse 9, Matthew chapter 4 on page 730, it says, "Again the devil took him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all the magnificence of them, and said to him, 'I will give you all these things if you fall down and worship me.'" All that power. He could have been a pope, remember? "Then Yahshua said to her, 'You get away from me, Satan, for it is written, Yahweh your Father you must reverence, and him only you must serve.'" So notice there was no doubt in his mind that Yahweh was the one. He knew that Yahweh was the one that we should be serving, not Satan. Now we need to start training ourselves, our minds, start right now, because remember, we don't have much time. All the prophecies, they're starting to come together. All the signs in the clouds, they're all starting to come together, and we don't have much time. We have to start training our mind to get sin, get the world. We don't want the world. Get it completely out of our mind. And Yahshua got that perfection, the training to become perfect. We're receiving that here today. And it's our choice. Remember what Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 says. It's our choice. We're not forced to do it. That's what the world does. They're forcing people to do it. But it's our choice, and Yahshua chose that. So again, ask yourself, if Yahshua can become perfect, why can't I? There's one thing that's holding us back. It's not the priest, it's not the house of Yahweh, it's not Yisrael Hawkins. It's ourselves. You are the only one that's holding yourself back from becoming perfect. If you don't set your mind to do that, to become perfect, then you're not going to achieve it. So set goals, set your mind in advance to do it. Now remember that the world, they don't have this training. What do they have? Well, man gets 9 years after leaving a bomb in North Carolina Walmart. There was a big fight at a Trump rally. And also we've got news every single week of the things that are going on in the world. So ask yourself this as well. Do you want to help us put character education in schools? Praise Yahweh. So there's a petition that you can go to ipetitions.com/petition/save our children's future to sign this petition, and it's to get character education into the schools, because that's the only thing that is going to solve this problem, the peaceful solution. And the peaceful solution is nothing different than what is taught here at the house of Yahweh. So remember that. Set your mind in advance. Don't let any of the stumbling blocks of the world get you down, because push through them like Yahshua did. So with that, if you all please stand.